So probably a couple of months ago, 2 or 3 months ago, Cisa came to me after I'd spoken about bringing what God has put on your heart for the good of the church. And she said to me, I just feel like God's prompted me to do a ladies' breakfast and to bring something to the ladies. I was so delighted when you did that, Cisa. And she came and she gathered a team and she put that on. I know some of you ladies that went to that had a fantastic time on that ladies' breakfast. And one of the things that I heard after that is, wow, what an amazing communicator Cisa is. And I thought, well, then we need to share that around with more people in the church. And so what I said to Cisa is, could you bring that talk that you did at the Ladies' Day to a wider audience as one of our Summer Sundays? And so that's what she's going to come and do today. I would love to pray with you, and then it's over to you, Cisa. So, Father God, we thank you so much for Cisa. We thank you for the gift that is on her to communicate with people, and we thank you for what you've put on her heart for those of us who are going to hear this morning. And we ask, Holy Spirit, would you come now? Would you give her peace, and would you give her an anointing that the words that she brings mixed with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, would touch our hearts and would cause us to respond to you, Jesus, in different ways right around the room and as we go out of this place. We thank you, Jesus, that you are good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Over to you.
Morning, all. I spent the whole morning
since yesterday trying to sabotage this day. Believe me. I went to a party yesterday. My niece was turning 16. We didn't get home until about maybe nearly 2 o'clock in the morning. I woke up this morning and like, church doesn't start until 10:30. Totally convinced myself that it doesn't start until 10:30. But there you go. It's one of those things that you do sabotage yourself. But also, I don't even know. I thought we had ladies' breakfast, and what happens in a ladies' room and ladies' breakfast doesn't get out, right? Some few people clearly didn't know how to keep secrets. But I'm going to try and replicate this. But for those who don't know me, my name is Cisa. I am married to my handsome husband, Isaac Moyo. And we have 3 children. And like you, all of you parents, we've spent the entire summer trying to think about how to feed them, how to keep them entertained, and stop hearing the word, I am bored. And there's still a few more weeks. But also, my talk was sabotaged. So by my 8-year-old. There you go. So I was busy doing the slides, and she says, oh, well, I know that story. I was like, you don't know that story. How do you know it? She says, oh, we've done it at church. Yeah, I can tell you all about it. And she literally just told me all about it. So just trying to talk about impact of the vibe and sparks, and clearly my 8-year-old actually could deliver this sermon far much better than me. So much so that actually I had to change the title of my topic because the title of my topic was God's abundance. And she said to me at the end, oh, it just means that, you know, God's got more. And I went, oh, so I can't say that really because I won't sound sophisticated. I need to find another one. So I went with the multitude. Because I work in a team, I'm going to ask my husband, so that I don't feel like I'm doing this alone, to just read the scripture for me from Matthew chapter 14, from 13 to 21. Then at least I can calm down in that time period, right?
Okay. Is it on? Okay. Matthew 14, 13 to 21. Jesus feeds the 5,000. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, That evening, the disciples came to him and said, there is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, that isn't necessary. You feed them. But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here, he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up towards heaven, and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. Amen.
I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I come before your throne of grace. Use me as your vessel to deliver your word. Let me speak your truth, nothing but your truth, God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So the Bible says preceding that story, the 12 had gone out. I like to call them the 12. The 12 had gone out to essentially do some, they'd gone on a mission to heal, to speak the word, to evangelize as we're all supposed to. And when they came back, Jesus could see how exhausted they were. And he said, I will take you all away. So I don't know what kind of taking them away to a place of rest this was, because I'm convinced that Jesus already knew about the multitude, right? Because he's a sovereign God. He already knows everything from the beginning to the end. And he said to the 12, come away, we'll go to a place so that you could rest. And but my kind of rest is I go away and leave my children. That's my kind of rest, including my husband, believe it or not, to just absolutely go and rest. However, as they all got into the boat, because wherever Jesus goes, the crowd always followed. And whether they believed in him, whether they believed in this Messiah, whether they knew of him, but they knew that wherever this man went, right, there was healing. People rose from the dead. There was someone who spoke with authority even more than what they knew of the high priests, right? And so they just followed. He was on a boat. I was trying to imagine this. I don't know what kind of place it was, but apparently it's in Bethsaida, so the Bible says. And, you know, I like the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, and Luke, because there are synergies, isn't it? They call them the Synoptic Gospels, and all of them actually really corroborate in some of these stories. So I was thinking, okay, fine. Whatever the people ran, you went on a boat. How far was this place? So off they went to this desolate place. When they got there, they were hit with new day. 9,000 new people in New Day, I heard they were this time round. My niece, who's living with us at the moment, came and told us about how amazing it was. She's planning to go back next year. She's already prepping how well she's going to do it, much better than she did at this time. And she told us there were 9,000 people. However, it was 5,000. But like I say to the women, in the Bible, and the scholars say that it was 5,000 men. And in my head, I would like to think, if there were 5,000 men, surely there must have been 5,000 women, right? And another 5,000 children. So we're talking about 15,000, right? Because it was 5,000 men. But I imagine in my head that there was actually much more than that. Anyway, so they off they went, and as soon as they got off, Jesus actually performed. He spoke to the people, performed the miracles. It got really, really quite late, as it says. And then suddenly there was panic in the 12, wasn't there? They suddenly thought, "Oh my word, these people have been here all day. They must be hungry, they must be exhausted," and they turned around and say to Jesus, like how we all do when we're tired and exhausted and we think the visitors should leave. They said, send them away. Send them away to the surrounding villages so that they can actually find lodgings and food. And Jesus said, no way, not sending these people away. You feed them. And the disciples were thinking, well, clearly, we're tired, we're exhausted. You've brought us to this desolate place. We have absolutely no food, no resources. And this is like us, isn't it? It is totally us. What do we say? We go to Jesus and we don't even go to Jesus. You might have a job interview. You might be wanting to buy a house. You might be wanting to do something and you go, I can't do it. I have nothing. I can't really do it. My deposit is not enough. Or you might be wanting to host a party and you talk yourself out of it and you say, I can't do it. I don't have enough food. I can't feed the people that are coming to my house. And so Jesus said to them, go and look. Right? This is in Mark. Jesus said to them, go and look. Because he already knew that somewhere where they were with this multitude, there was something, right? Just like in the same way that you would say to your child when it's just like literally after their birthday or their Christmas and they come back and say, I'm bored. And you go and look for something else to play with, you know, because they could say it 15,000 times. Jesus said to them, go and look. And off they went and they came back. I won't tell you what I told the women, right? Because it's a secret. But there was a little boy, innocent young man, who had a basket of five loaves and two fish in his little basket. And he took it, and he looked up to heaven, and broke it, and there was abundance. There was absolute abundance. And Jesus said to his disciples, just divide them into groups and have them sitting in groups of 50. And I understand that there was, where they were sitting, there was grass. And I'm thinking, it's like Jesus saying to them, put them in a comfortable place. Let them be expectant of what is to come, of what I am to deliver. Let them sit in groups of 50, recline and be expectant, because I am about to do miracles. Amen? And what the Bible, what I hear about this story, this miracle that Jesus performed on this very day, is that it is the pinnacle of all miracles that Jesus performed. And when he took it to his father, took it to heaven, that mere gift of men, that mere deposit that you don't have, that little seed of faith that we have, he takes it to heaven to his father, and it became abundant. It became more to feed the 5,000 and the 15,000 in my head, right? To feed the entire multitude. And the Bible says they were satisfied. Satisfied. Christmas dinner kind of satisfied, right? Where you've actually made your roast turkey. Like my husband, has anyone been to our house for a barbecue? Raise your hand. That kind of satisfied, right? That kind of satisfied. And I think what I quite like about it is that it's the very same thing about us where we try and talk ourselves out of things, isn't it? It's like the disciples, when they say to Jesus, well, if you can't send the multitude away, if you can't send these problems away, if you can't get rid of them, then send us away. Because they were trying to get out of it. Send us away to the villages. And it's the same thing that you might, as young people, you might have an interview that's coming up and you might think, well, I really can't really do this. And you just press that withdraw button and just like totally send yourself away and say, I can't do it. But we don't have to do it with our own power. We don't have to do it with our own gift. We don't have to do it with our own wisdom. As the children of God who know him, who believe in him, we know that he actually supports us. He actually is our father. He actually is our strength. And all our problems and all our multitudes, when we're having them, all we need to do is just literally open that drawer and take your 5 loaves and 2 fish and you give it up to him. And you say, Heavenly Father, this is all I have. This little mere thing that I have, the smallest amount, and I give it up to you, Lord our God, to actually do something with it. We spend our time also praying our way our miracles, don't we? Because sometimes we'll be saying, oh, Heavenly Father, please don't put me in that position where I would ever need a miracle. But sometimes, like the 12 who were very exhausted, absolutely shattered, because I'm convinced that this wasn't about feeding the multitude. This was a lesson for the disciples from Jesus to actually say, this is what you can do with the very little that you have when you bring it to me, because I have got the utmost authority. And we spend all the time doing that ourselves, isn't it? Thinking, well, I really can't do this. I've got all these problems. But sometimes some of the problems that we pray away are actually our miracles. Sometimes the problems that God puts in our way, whether it's a health ailment, just a physical distress, a mental health distress, an emotional distress, God puts them in your way because he knows that he's got you because you are his child. Amen? And we go and pray and we're like, oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, just take it away. Take it away. Instead, what we should say is, Lord, I bring it to you. Have your way. Have mercy on me. Let your grace respond and deal with this multitude. And I do quite like this. I didn't preach it like this when I talked to the women because my daughter destroyed it. So I had to find another sophisticated version, didn't I, and not talking about the 5 and 2 and not talking about, you know, God has more, because I thought, oh, well, since they've done it in vibe, surely, you know, I can't be talking like an 8-year-old. But I quite also like that when the disciples had fed all the people, what it says is that there was 12 baskets full left. It wasn't 35, it wasn't 5,000, it wasn't 16,000, it wasn't 15,000, it was 12. And the 12 baskets were because of the 12 disciples. It's us. He's saying, I have got more for you. I have got it for you. All the same, the abundance that was there for the 12 did not stop there. The abundance that was there is still there today. The abundance that he has is still with us all the time. And therefore, we don't have to do everything or anything at all in our strength, because the Lord our God and our Father has got us. He says, be still. And know that I am God. And that's what we have to do. Just be still and know that he is God. With all those multitudes, I call the multitudes the problems, we just have to remain faithful in him, remain content that we are his children, and he's our Heavenly Father who has never, ever, ever failed us. And never, ever failed us. He doesn't fail. When things happen, it's because they happen because they were not yours, or they were supposed to happen that way, or life was meant to end. But that's not God's failure. It simply means that it was just meant to be that way. What is yours is going to be yours. Where he opens a door, whether he's favoring you, blessing you, healing you, that is what is meant to be for you and a portion of yours that God has set aside for you. It's the Bible says he knew us from the time we were in the womb. Before we were even formed, he knew of us. He knew the little strands in our hair. I don't have strands, I've got locks, but I'm sure woven somewhere there must be a strand that is still remaining. But it simply says God knows us individually, knows us personally. He actually carves out our way, our life and our journey, our individual journeys. It's almost like we've got not just only DNAs, but we've also got a God-given DNA about how life is going to pan out. And all what we need to do is to be still and have faith in him and let him be in control, because he will never, ever fail us. Amen. And I want us to take this time to just pray together, to actually say, whatever the multitude that we're having in our lives, whatever we think is a problem, or a difficulty, or a challenge, it's not too big for God. It's nothing. It's literally absolutely nothing. All you need to do is to just lift it up and lift your eyes up to God and say, here I am with my mere problem of a man or a woman, and I give it up to you and take control, Heavenly Father. Amen. And I'd like to invite Ian back up, and we'll just take this time and pray together to just say to God, we are obedient. We know you've got it in abundance, and we know that you forever be with us, and we're going to be still. We're going to be absolutely still and believe in you, God, and let you have control.
Thank you so much, Sisa. Thank you. Shall we just, let's just honour Sisa for coming this morning and sharing with us. Thank you. You're going to stay here and pray as well. And I think just in a way, almost you've modelled something. You came and you said, I feel like God's put a ladies' breakfast on my heart, but I don't know how to do that. I've got a few loaves and a fish and God's turned that into something. And for each one of us here, there will be different things that we're seeing in our lives at the moment. Different challenges. It might be health challenges. It might be financial. It might be relational. It could be, you know, to do with your job situation, whatever it might be. There are challenges in each of our lives. And I guess what Caesar's encouraging us is to lift our eyes away from the challenges and onto God. Okay, if you're able to, why don't we just stand together? And if you know that you are facing a multitude of some kind, you're facing a challenge at the moment of some kind, I'm not going to ask you to say what it is, but just raise your hand where you are, almost as a sign of, okay, I'm coming before you, God. I'm coming before you, and I'm recognizing there is something that looks problematic in my life. So lots of hands around the room. And what I'm going to encourage you to do now is to say, this is yours, Jesus. This is yours. Just even say it out loud. This is yours, Jesus. I give this to you. I give this to you. I am not going to solve this problem on my own. But I thank you, Jesus, that you've got me. I thank you, Jesus, that you've got this situation. And I am bringing what I have to you, and I'm trusting you, my Heavenly Father. I want to trust you with this situation. And for every person in this place, Father God, I pray that you would come now and that you would he would show them what is their part to play. What is their step? What is their thing that you're asking obedience of? In the confidence of knowing that you have it all, Father God. Thank you that you do partner with us, that you ask us to carry little things, that you ask us to take little steps, but Father, you are the one that holds it all together. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit and help right now. Come Holy Spirit and help each person that's facing a multitude. Come Holy Spirit, we pray. Thank you, God. See, so you just pray. Can we just pray for us? Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord Almighty God, for being the God our Father, the one that we believe in, the one that we know that every multitude that we have in our life, if we bring it to you, Lord our God, you will take care of it on our behalf. You will ease that burden in our lives, Almighty Father. And you will never fail us, Lord, O God. We trust in you. We trust in your grace. We trust in your favor. We trust in your blessings, Lord, O God. And we've seen these little miracles time and time again in our lives, Almighty God. And Jesus, as you did it yesterday, as you did it this morning, we know that you forever do it for us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen. Amen.